Testament lesson for the fourth Sunday in Lent is written in the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 49th chapter. Thus says the Lord, in a time of favor I have answered you. In a day of salvation I have helped you. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, to establish the land, to apportion the desolate heritages, saying to the prisoners, come out. To those who are in darkness, appear. They shall feed along the ways. On all bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger or thirst. Neither scorching wind nor sun shall strike them. For he who has pity on them will lead them, and by springs of water will guide them. And I will make all my mountains a road, and my highways shall be raised up. Behold, these shall come from afar, and behold, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Syene. Sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing, for the Lord has comforted his people, and he will have compassion on his afflicted. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord.
In your arms and security within your towers.
The second lesson is written in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the second chapter. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever.
As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. From this time forth and forevermore, peace be upon Israel.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him, because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. This is the gospel of the Lord. One of his disciples, Andrew, said to Jesus, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Well, the Lord's blessings to all of you on this fourth Sunday in Lent, dear ones. It may well seem out of place or even strange during this penitential season for this particular Sunday to be a bit lighter, be a bit less intense in character than the other Sundays in Lent. It may seem strange for the paraments to be rose-colored, and for the emphasis of this particular Sunday to be one of rejoicing and reprieve and even restful satisfaction to a degree. What is this? What is the meaning of these things? Well, after all, the fullness of the Easter season hasn't yet come, so why does the Holy Church see fit to rejoice now, when there's still so much left to be desired, when Easter's still a little ways off? As it happens, the Apostle Andrew, in our gospel text, he questions our Savior in similar fashion. The disciples, of course, were all with him in a large crowd in a place where there was no food, and Jesus, wanting to feed the masses, seems to think in typical fashion that just a few loaves and a couple of fish, that ought to do the trick. That ought to satisfy their desire. But, St. Andrew asks, what are they for so many? Which is as much as saying, "Lord, what reason do we have to rejoice and be at rest now when there's so little? How will you plan to satisfy so many when you have so little to give? How will you do this?" But dear ones, this particular Sunday, we step back and recognize that as it was for the disciples and the great crowds back then, so it is for us even now in this way, that Jesus is with us, and he sustains us and gives us what we need in body and soul. And the church, by the way, has never seen this as just some trite piece of theology. Never. And I hope you come to see that for the impious thought that it really is. Because for us and for all the faithful, being with Jesus and having what he gives us, that is what's really needful for true rejoicing, for true rest and satisfaction. And with all the good things that he gives us now, foremost among them is true faith that is satisfied in him and the foretaste he gives us of all that's to come. Again, though, as the Apostle Andrew said, there's a boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? What are they? You can almost feel the dissatisfaction in the question, can you not? What are they? It seems ridiculous to think that just these things will satisfy so great a desire. What are they? Andrew says this just like one of his ancient Hebrew ancestors from of old. No doubt you remember well how the Israelites spoke wandering in the desert when the Lord rained down bread from heaven to feed them. They looked at the bread and they said in Hebrew, "Mana," manna, Mana, what is it? What is that? This is what God would use to satisfy us. This. How soon was it before they became completely dissatisfied and restless with God, with what he had sent them? How soon was it then, too, before they were at the point of speaking so shamelessly against God and his servant Moses, saying, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food." Speaking of the manna. We loathe this worthless food. Never mind that God had miraculously fed them and sustained them this way. Never mind that. Dear ones, not only is it sinful and wretched, but it is a terrible pathology of the soul to be continually, habitually dissatisfied, discontented with what the Lord gives us to satisfy our need. When people are in this condition, we no longer fix our attention on the Lord and what he gives us in his grace, but instead we focus inwardly upon ourselves and the things we don't have that he hasn't seen fit to give us. That becomes our focus. Search your own hearts, dear ones, and think how often we take for granted the daily bread which our Lord is pleased to give us. How ungrateful we often are for everything that he provides to sustain us physically day to day. Clothing, shoes, food and drink, house, home, family. How little time do we spend thanking him for these things as we should. And the same can be said, especially when it comes to his spiritual gifts. When we come here and feast our souls on the right teaching of the gospel, the right administration of the sacraments, how often do we thank him as we should and rest in these things? How often, if we do, is it just perfunctory, just going through the motions, thanking him because we should, when really our hearts are somewhere else? When really what would delight us more than anything and cause us to rejoice is more money. Before I go any further, dear ones, I would offer you a little bit more food for thought. And that is this. Maybe the Lord knows that if he were to rain down money on you from heaven, it would ruin you. And it would cause you to become so restless and so dissatisfied with what God gives you spiritually that you would forsake him altogether, forget him entirely. Maybe he knows that that's what would happen. It is, as St. Augustine famously said so many centuries ago, "Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until we rest in you." But as it is, despite our unworthiness, despite our ungratefulness, our Lord continues to give us our daily bread. He gives us what we need to sustain us, that we would find rest and rejoice in him. And above all else, it has satisfied God our Father to give us his own Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the true bread from heaven and the very bread of life, who gives life to the world. And we see a powerful image of that in our text. The ESV translates our Lord as saying, "Have the people sit down." And it's true, they did sit down. But the Greek word here means to recline. And that is the position not just of resting, but of feasting in satisfaction. That's what that means. And Jesus then took bread and fish, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and everybody ate. Everybody was satisfied. Some say there may have been a total of 20 or even 30,000 people there. All of them reclining, all of them feasting, rejoicing in the Lord Jesus and what he gives. They all had plenty. They all had enough. There was more than enough. And so too, dear ones, come here and feast today. Feast yourselves. Rejoice and give thanks on the one whom the Father has given you to sustain you to eternal life, to give you rest and satisfaction like no other. Say, what is this food but the very body of Christ, given into death on the cross for the forgiveness of all our sins? What is this but a magnificent foretaste of the Easter feast coming, and the foretaste of the feast in the kingdom of heaven, which will have no end? Laetare, dear ones, laetare. And to Christ, the true bread of life, be all the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.